SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, hour number two of the early line. The NFL is going to continue to make some waves. They're dropping some schedule information kind of throughout the morning about who's going to go and play overseas. But I want to start with the Ryan Tannehill story. And if you think this is not a story, you're probably a Titans fan trying to cope. Ryan Tannehill asked about mentoring Malik Willis. The easiest thing to do in the world. Yeah, excited to get to work with the kid. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's all you got to do. Ryan Tannehill. I don't really think it's my job to mentor him. If you learn some stuff along the way, that's good. DRS, your reaction to Tannehill not being interested in mentoring Malik Willis.
I love it. I love these headlines, and I'm glad we get to talk about it here because rightfully so. You should never be able to ask a grown man in his job, saying, hey, look, they just drafted somebody that's supposed to take your job. What do you say? You tell him how to break down every single defense with the design, he takes your job and you lose money. What else is he supposed to say? I understand, but you're in the professional ranks and you quiet this whole argument down. Hey, Malik Willis is coming in. He's a rookie. Looks like he's not ready to play. Are you going to help him out? You know what, man? We get in that quarterback room. We're a team. What I see, I'm going to let him know. Whatever he needs from me, he can ask, and I'll certainly be able to help him out. You know what, Ryan Tannehill is good teammate. If Ryan Tannehill is a really good teammate, that's a great thing. But I do love the fact where they still get so defensive at this point and basically say, look, he comes in that room and goes, hey, Ryan, is that a cover two? Man, that's a cover one. Like, throw him off. Like, just make him look terrible at every spin. Like, what should I do when I roll out of the pocket? Should I hit the first guy on the out, or should I go deep on this if I'm getting a cover two? Man, you should just audible out of that play and then start to snicker when the coach goes, why did you just audible out of that play? Ryan told me it might be. What do you mean Ryan told you it's going to be an audible in this play? Get out of here. And that, you know, almost circumvent the guy doing well. But also, let's keep in mind, Tannehill's a good football player. Tannehill is the entrenched starting quarterback. Kevin, they didn't draft Malik Willis number one overall. They didn't draft Malik Willis number two overall. They didn't trade up in the top 10 to get Malik Willis. He's a third-round draft pick. If you are an NFL quarterback that's had, I don't know, 100 starts under your belt in the NFL, you shouldn't feel any sort of way with a third-round draft pick coming in as that's a threat to my job. You should have enough confidence to say, hey, man, kid looks really talented. Welcome here. You know, we'll compete at camp. I'll help him out as best as I can. But in the back of your mind going like, man, there is no chance this kid actually beats me out for a starting job here on my football team. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, but you want to know why he's worried? Because he'd be lying to himself if he said there's no way Malik Willis beats him out. Because the reality is, how'd the season end? One touchdown, three picks from Ryan Tannehill. And the whole conversation of, is that guy good enough to win at a high level? Here's the thing, DRS. If you and I are aware that they can basically get out of Tanny's contract at the end of the season, you think Tanny's aware? Or did he go to the school of LeBron? Psh, I don't even know when my contract is up. Man, I'm pretty sure I'm here in Tennessee for another 5 years. He's aware. He knows. Malik Willis does go in the third round. For a lot of people, he was the number one quarterback prospect in this draft. Tannehill is aware of all of these things. But now, again, it just adds more smoke to the fire. You know, Ryan Tannehill's, oh, we're competing against one another. Oh, are you? Okay. I guess we'll have to pay close attention to training camp. The radio audience is here on a Wednesday morning. It's Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside on the early line, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, talking a little bit about Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. Like, Ryan Tannehill's words were, well, yeah, we're competing against one another. I don't think Ryan Tannehill views Malik Willis as a teammate, to be honest with you. He views him as just a guy trying to take his job. That creates tension.
It does create tension here. Look, and now the radio audience is in. We'll let you in a little bit of secret here. You know, the early line here, co-host spot opens up, and management goes, what do you think about this guy, Donnie Wrightside, Kevin? Look, this guy's a superstar. He might shine out of me. I think we need to look elsewhere. Now when they ask me, I said, you know what? I'll come in there. I'll mentor this young guy. I mean, I can see that when he gets live shots here, he struggles. Put him with me. We will shine as a team and rise up. There's two ways you can handle this stuff. Accept the responsibility. Help out a fellow employee or a fellow coworker here, which I do with Kevin. Don't slander the guy because I have the tapes from previous where Kevin was saying, like, I can't let this guy get on the show because he's going to shine so bright that I'm not going to get my time. Don't worry about that, Kevin. We can all shine here on the grid here. That was my point coming into it. Use that, Ryan Tannehill. Let the kid come in, train him, build him up here, but always know in the back of your head, you're the real superstar.
Let me give you a little bit of advice, Tannehill. And make sure you get Donnie's double box. Get the double box up here, too. Make sure you get the double box up here. Let me give you a little bit of advice, Tannehill. Here's all you got to do, right, is in the middle of that film room, just be like, and they ask you, I'm not sure. What do you think, Malik? And just like Donnie, I bet you Malik Willis won't have a single clue what is going on. It's a 50-50 shot. Donnie knows what's coming up next in the next segment. I mean, it's a 50-50. It's the same thing we do every day, and he's the one who drew it up. It's a 50-50 shot here. Listen, I'm not worried, right? Because I don't end shows with three picks and feeling like I lost us the game. That's never happened. Donnie, on the other hand, I don't know.
I'll give a quick short story here from college.
Sixers breakdown.
Yeah, short story here, college in the film room. If I knew a fellow wide receiver was going to drop a pass on the next play on film, you know what I would do in the dark room? Ooh, this play doesn't look good. Who said that? I don't know who said that. Just watch this next play.
A horrendous teammate through and through, Donnie Wrightson. We'll be right back.
I didn't say it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball preview time right here on the early line. Let's now... Ooh, man, that's tanky. You know what? Let me start right here, DRS. As a whole, right? We've been kind of waiting for, you know, when could it be a team total day? People, the anticipation is building. In general, when you've looked at today's slate, does it line up a little bit better than maybe the couple of days prior? And why so, if yes?
Yeah, it's much better because you're getting some decent teams in here against some bad pitching. But the one thing that we're still missing out on is nothing. Sometimes, Kevin, I got to be honest with you. I'll go down the list and I'll say, okay, circle some of these games, which makes some sense, which is pitchers and batters matching up against each other. But sometimes I look at the weather forecast first. Like, oh, look at these games on the East Coast. 86 degrees in Washington, 90 in Philadelphia, 88 in the Bronx. You know, even Boston has 92 degrees at first pitch today. Sometimes you look at that. We don't have that yet, but there's a lot of games on the card, including some of these afternoon games, that I do think have some chances to be good hitting environments. So we're starting to get there. Yesterday, it was, hey, I can't wait to get started. Going, oh, my goodness. It's like the worst schedule I've ever seen to get started 2 days ago. But now, a little bit better today, Kevin, yes.
It's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, one of the other things with today's slate is a lot of day baseball, a ton, which is fun because you can get involved early and often. The first game on the board is Miami and Arizona. Hernandez, Bumgarner, the Marlins, a -150 range favorite. Miami is above 500, sneaky. The Diamondbacks are actually only one game below despite having a pitiful, disgraceful offense. The total for this one, it's what you'd anticipate. A 7.5 spot here. This game is going to get underway before 1 p.m. on the East Coast. What's the look?
Yeah, here's what we're looking at here, because we're trying to take a look at some of these pitcher-hitter matchups here, and I think it's a decent... Now, the hitting environment here, if the roof is open, you get heat and humidity down there in Miami, which is a positive. The negative there, as we know, Lone Depot Park is a massive cavern down there, very hard to hit home runs, and quite frankly, if you're deadening the baseball, that's a tough environment to score runs in. But taking a look at this game, Hernandez on the mound, the right-hander, a 5.72 xFIP here early on the season, which is high. But if we take a look, here's the caveat. A 393 weighted on base percentage. Again, Hernandez a righty to left-handed batters here. It's very high. ISO power number, 317, equally as high. Right-handed batters, he's not dominating against them, Kevin. 325, which is roughly average, but an elevated ISO power number of 225. So we should get a decent look if you have left-handed batters in the lineup, which we know Arizona likes to do. A lot of switch hitters. The anticipated lineup today with lefties, Varsho, Peralta, Beer, Marte, Perdomo, and Herrera. So if we line those up and say, okay, the weighted on base averages aren't high, but now you're starting to try to take a projection here moving forward. A pitcher that's been bad through about 100 batters here, eventually it's going to catch up. So also, we're taking a look at what we talked about yesterday. Even though some of these games, Kevin, don't line up for me. And what I mean by that is, look, I don't think the batters are all that good against this pitcher. You're not getting high numbers where, let's just say, a Yankees total typically last year would be 5.5. You might get them at 4.5. And it's the same way looking at bad baseball teams like the Arizona Diamondbacks. Instead of having a game that's like 4.5, you might get a 3.5 today, which means 4 runs from a road team against a bad pitcher over 9 innings. That should be doable with the DH. So the way I'm looking at this game, maybe the Arizona Diamondbacks possibility of a team total over here against the Miami Marlins.
I think that makes some sense there. It's a minus 134 on a flat 3 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But again, if you're someone who's followed this, you'll already know this. But the thought process that Donnie has preached to me that I think is actually really one of the most fascinating things I've ever heard, and it stuck with me, is don't worry about them getting to 4. Worry about them getting to 3. As long as you don't lose money, you're in a good spot there. So paying that extra juice as opposed to 3.5 at minus 105 is actively worth it as long as they can get to 3. And to add to everything that Donnie added, Hernandez, 4 starts. He himself, forget kind of when the bullpen comes in, has at least given up 3 or more earned runs in 3 of those 4 starts. So it all certainly lines up there. Continuing to push through this year, how about Royals Cardinals? Now, this is the second time that these two teams, despite this being, you know, AL-NL, are going to be lining up here. It's an exciting little spot, obviously, with the local rivalry and what have you. It's Bubich and Wainwright. Man, now I'm seeing Bubich feels like a guy that has been lined up before to be taken out. Am I right here, Donnie? Are we lining up something around the St. Louis Cardinals offense?
Yes, we are here. It's going to be a tale of two teams here. So this is a great game to bring up, but you're right. Bubich is a left-handed pitcher, a 6.26 xFIP number. Doesn't strike anybody out, Kevin, and walks too many guys. So automatically, like, okay, let's circle this game and see where it makes some sense here. Now, as a lefty, typically, you want to get left-handed batters out. He's not doing that here. 10 batters he's faced, a 6.29 weighted on base percentage, and a 6.67 ISO power number. But having looked at that, you are going to get all right-handed batters anticipated in the lineup. So when you're talking about games that make some sense, even if you take away the numbers, you say to yourself, a lefty is going to be on the mound. 9 right-handed batters are going to face him. Automatically, you perk up a little bit. So let's take a look at Bubich here. 375 weighted on base percentage. Now, his ISO power number is right around average at that 171 number. So if you say, okay, let's try to extrapolate out to what makes some sense, let's take a look at the hitters here. And also, this is good because the emerging markets here that we have, particularly on the FanDuel Sportsbook, where you can just line up a hitter prop parlay or a guy to hit a home run or anything in that realm, as opposed to just taking a team total, a total for the game, or even a side. Here's why it makes sense. Take a look at the first 5 batters anticipated today versus left-handed pitching. As we already said, Bubich has struggled here early in the season. 337 weighted on base percentage for Edmund. Goldschmidt, 451. O'Neill, 386. Arenado, 476. Albert Pujols, 580. You're talking the first 5 batters should be able to annihilate this guy upon contact. And also, the power numbers that we like to look at here. As I just said, maybe you're looking at Kevin. I know you love these markets. 2+ bases. You know, I've recently bet a couple bets last week just taking a guy to get an RBI. Look at this here. Now, again, ISO power numbers. 175 is very good in Major League Baseball. Look at the first 5 guys outside of Tyler O'Neill, who has a 067 ISO power number. You're getting 316 out of Edmund, 313 here out of Goldschmidt, 588 out of Nolan Arenado, and a 467 with Albert Pujols. So maybe some of those numbers where you say, okay, I think they can get their team total, but you know what? I think an RBI is in the mix for Goldschmidt or Arenado or Pujols at this point, or maybe two bags here to get some plus money numbers. It looks like the way to go in this game is going to be St. Louis, but also, as I teased you a little bit here and said, let's look at the flip side here. Adam Wainwright's on the mound. Not a great season overall, XFIP-wise, Kevin, at a 430. Mm-hmm. But if you take a look here between the lefty and righty splits, lefties have a 367 weighted on base percentage, which will get a couple lefties in the lineup. But take a look at this. We talked about the ISO power numbers here as we lined up for the Cardinals going up against here for Kansas City. Take a look at this one here. It's amazing. The estimated lineup today to be in for Kansas City, ISO power numbers, 0, 125, 102, 031, 100, 0, 136, and 059. Theoretically, St. Louis should run away with this baseball game as well, Kevin.
Yeah, it makes some sense there. Just to kind of give you the reference points, Goldschmidt's minus 105 for two plus bases. Arenado's plus 105. Albert Pujols plus 155. It's one of those things where you can play all three. You only need two to come in, and you have yourself a nice day. So those are kind of the options that can line up there nicely. That looks like a little – I mean, you know, the eight looks interesting. If you don't mind St. Louis carrying, Kansas City's at home, maybe they can get into the mix. I don't want to force a game in. We have plenty of time in our next segment to get to Major League Baseball. The one thing I'll just say in general, as we kind of take it through the break here, is it is very refreshing to hear it's just some good offensive statistics to start a baseball breakdown
all the time. Yep.
I mean, on average, right? Say we break down five, six baseball games, four at least. You go, yeah, I don't think anybody's going to hit today. It makes sense to the under. I mean, it's every single game, right? And it's one of those things because everybody's just had these early, early struggles. But if the numbers are going to start to line up, the hitting weather starts to come into play, we can start to have some fun here on the show. More Major League Baseball next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're hitting some Major League Baseball preview. I'm going to pause it for a quick second of slander, though, because these are the kind of things that are right up Donnie's alley. Now, Donnie, did you know that those teams that just played yesterday are not back in action until Saturday? Hold on. I've been too open-ended there. Hold on. That's my bad. I've been reading this all break. Hold on. Celtics-Bucks. No, that's all me. Celts-Bucks and Grizzlies-Warriors does not resume until Saturday, and we have no NBA basketball on Thursday. Ooh. What in the world is that? Why are the Sixers and the Heat and all of them going Wednesday, Friday, and they just gave Grizzlies, Warriors, and Celtics Bucks off Thursday? What am I missing? Is there an event I don't know about? What is this?
Yeah. Maybe a Dua Lipa concert somewhere that had to reschedule the NBA playoffs for, something like that. Maybe BTS has invaded one of the arenas where you can't have a home court advantage now for that night.
They get bumped for hockey?
Yeah, and look, make me commissioner. Every single game in the NBA playoffs starting at 7 o'clock. We're not having any of these long delays. I mean, come on now. I have what the people need out here, Kevin.
Oh, my goodness.
Make it happen.
Did the NBA playoffs get bumped for hockey? Like, can someone confirm that? This is one of the worst moments of my life. They got bumped for hockey, I think. Like, TNT's running. Come on now. Oh, I like that I just threw it to you. Hold on, Don. Did you know these teams are not playing again? Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, that was good. I said, now, hold on now. Baseball teams actually played on a Tuesday. They're not going to play again until Saturday. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. Explain yourself. And certainly you had to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right. We got through it.
That's Rangers, good segment Philly. Right there, start.
Sure. Yeah, no. Hey,
let me rant on this. These teams don't play again until Saturday. Well, what teams?
Yeah. Oh, hey, Don, do you know that everybody's off until Saturday, man? Did you hear about this? It's one of the craziest things that ever happened, man.
You're talking USFL. Rangers, Phillies. What are we talking about here?
They don't play anymore. When's the next USFL games? Friday at 1 a.m.
Midnight on Friday. Sure. On tape delay.
Big game. The Birmingham Brawlers up against the Oh my goodness, man. Here we go. Phillies Rangers. We actually have odds today for Phillies Rangers, so I can look at it. -175 range. Zach Wheeler gets the ball up against the Texas Rangers. The Phil's DRS looking for a nice W here. Can they get it?
Yes, they should be able to get that W tonight. Now, Perez, one of those guys, one of my favorites. You know, I almost remember him as a sort of pitcher as Vinny Velasquez, if anybody remembers him from the Philadelphia Phillies, where he would throw 100 pitches. Like, man, he goes to the eighth inning. No, he throws 100 pitches in four innings. That's what Perez does, and it's really a tax on your bullpen. But the focus today is going to be on Zach Wheeler on the mound. Hasn't performed, quite frankly, as well as we would have liked to start the season, a 4.85. Why? Because he was dominant last year, but then decided, I'm not going to pick up a baseball until basically March 31st and then start to throw again. Not the best offseason prognosis here for Zach Wheeler, but having said that, if we take a look, he is a strikeout guy. Did he start out the same last year? No. He's only striking about 21% of the batters that he's faced. But if you take a look at the lineup, the same way we're just saying, hey, look at some of these lineups match up really well against these pitchers. This Texas Rangers lineup doesn't match up at all. And let's take a look why here. The pronunciations that we use here, ISO power numbers, weighted on base percentage, they make sense here. If I look at the ISO power numbers, Adolis Garcia, who's in the four hole tonight anticipated, Kevin, is a 241 ISO power number, which is very good. Every single batter on this team is under an 0-100 ISO power number versus right-handed batters. So basically, if we're doing the equivalent with Donnie, what's an ISO power number? Driving the baseball into the gap, driving the baseball over the fence. This basically tells me one guy can hit it into the outfield tonight for the Rangers. That's the way I'm going. The Phillies are an expensive price tonight, but the team total under, maybe even in the first five innings, should come through here, where Zach Wheeler, if he has anything in the tank tonight, should dominate this weak Texas lineup.
A hitter prop parlay from the Phillies side of it. Alec Bohm and Nick Castellanos line up. It makes some sense. 5 of 7, Alec Bohm, lifetime versus Perez. Castellanos, 4 of 9. Each guy is homered in their career off of Perez. Sometimes I've enjoyed kind of going hitter prop parlay and then each guy over 2+ bags. If the 2+ bags price is plus money, Castellanos is a -120. That's a little bit tough because now you absolutely need that to come home. But again, a hitter prop parlay for those two can make some sense. Big game here for the Blue Jays. They're trying to avoid being swept. They just lost their first series of the season. Now they're trying to avoid being swept at the hand of the Yanks, and they're dogs. Probably their worst pitcher in Kikuchi gets the ball, and maybe the Yankees' best pitcher in Nestor Cortez gets the ball. The total's an 8. Let me just say this quickly, because I know baseball is so analytical, but it is hard not to think like, man, is Toronto really going to get swept? Kind of those narratives that come into play. I almost feel like that's factoring into the lines here a little bit because the gap between Cortez and Kikuchi, the Yankees should be closer to -150, -160. Yeah. That's the gap we've seen early season, but it's in Toronto, hard to sweep a team this good. What do you think about the game?
It is hard to sweep a team this good. And maybe you're saying, well, how good can Nestor Cortez actually be? He's been sensational here in 2022. 2.84 xFIP number, striking out 36% of the batters that he's faced. Dominant, Kevin, between both lefty and righty batters for the left-handed pitcher. But the crux of the argument, we're going to make your money tonight, is probably going up against Kikuchi here, which is a very good sign if you think the New York Yankees can pull off the sweep. 6.39 xFIP number, not striking any batters out and walking close to 20% of the batters that he's faced. That's a recipe for disaster. And also couple this with Kikuchi's a left-handed pitcher. He's actually done decent against left-handed bats, but you're going to get a heavy stack of right-handed bats today from the Yankees and some really good power hitters. And the reason why that is going to be damaging for Kikuchi, take a look at this. A 426 weighted on base percentage and also a 293 ISO power number to right-handed batters. So we're looking right off the bat. DJ LeMahieu, how about 466 weighted on base percentage against lefties here in 2022. Aaron Judge looking for that contract. How about an ISO power number off lefties of a 583 with a weighted on base percentage of a 477? If you take a look at Stanton, he struggled a little bit. Donaldson expected in the lineup struggled a little bit against lefties. But if you take a look at Gleyber Torres here, a 333 ISO power number and a 363 weighted on base percentage. Hicks also coming with a close to 400 weighted on base percentage versus lefties here. You're right. You look at this line and go, Cortez has been great. Kikuchi's been bad. The Yankees are hot. Toronto bats have cooled off. What am I missing here? Outside of just just being, as we like to say, a contrarian better. The Yankees should handle their business, and the Yankees should hit tonight.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And how about a hitter prop parlay with two of the guys that DRS mentioned, LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, minus 102. Both guys, really good statistics off of Kikuchi. Makes a lot of sense here tonight to put those two guys into a hitter prop parlay. The one thing is with the Yanks, you always want to see that lineup, see where everybody's slotted. They always giving a key guy an off day there. So those are the important pieces of information that you're going to want to track. Let's do the Chicago battle here. Cubs, White Sox, Hendricks, Giolito, Chicago, White Sox, a minus 145 road favorite. You know what's so funny is I see a 7, and usually if you ever see a 7 in Wrigley, you go, oh, wind's powering in. I don't even know if I can read the wind anymore because the totals are typically so low in Major League Baseball. What's the weather, and what are we thinking for the Chicago battle here?
Wind is blowing in, and they're not a blustery wind where it's like 15 or 20 miles an hour, but right around 10 miles an hour. But here's the issue. You're in Chicago, and it's April the 4th. It's going to be playing at 45-degree temperatures here around the first pitch, which is freezing cold. So wind blowing in freezing cold doesn't usually bode well. But I got to tell you here, and you know me, before the season started, hey, Chicago White Sox, most talented team in this division. They're going to win this division. Nobody else really is going to put up much of a fight. I'm going to give you some statistics here going up against right-handed pitching. Now, Hendricks hasn't been very good this year. A 533 xFIP number, not getting out lefty bats or righty bats. He's, man, where do I sign up? Chicago White Sox, DH in Wrigley Field. I don't care if it's cold. They should do damage. I don't know if I've seen this from a legitimate baseball team here in, quite frankly, a few years, because sometimes you get like a Baltimore Orioles or maybe the Arizona Diamondbacks when they're selling off their guys late in the season. Like, man, this lineup is really bad. The names are in this lineup, but I'm going to give you the weighted on-base averages from the 9 anticipated bats that you're going to get in the starting lineup tonight here for the Chicago White Sox. Again, keep in mind with the preface, 325, Kevin, is the average in Major League Baseball. Anything above that is good. Anything below that is bad. Tim Anderson, 285. Robert, 206. Grandal, 171. Abreu, 288. Sheets, 282. Pollock, 257. Berger, 245. Garcia, 159. And Harrison, 240. Every single bat. And I'm not talking about Kevin, like, ooh, right around it. 320, 319, 315. Every single batter in that lineup below a 300 weighted on base percentage, which again is the equivalent of nobody is going to get on base tonight for the White Sox. That talented lineup is struggling that bad to start the season. That's unbelievable to see.
Man, that is a super tough scene. I will say there are a few guys that you can find in that lineup with some solid numbers, though, against Kyle Hendricks, if you're willing to trust him. That's one of the things that has been, not a struggle, but it's been interesting to sift through. A guy like a Bo Bichette is the perfect example with all the AL East stuff that I do. You know, Bo Bichette, you can't find an AL East pitcher that he's not career lifetime like 400 against. You really can't. Well, Bo Bichette's battling 220 on the season. So you're like, man, I keep throwing Bo Bichette hitter prop parlays and things maybe go south. I'll give you Jose Abreu, lifetime, 13 of 22 against Hendrick. That's a 591 batting average, right? But are we trusting him early season? Tim Anderson, 6 of 16. That's a 375 batting average. Typically, I tell you, Abreu, Tim Anderson, there's nothing to worry about. It's been a slower start for the White Sox, so maybe you want to be a little more cautious. We go to the NBA next year on the early line. Game number 2, Heat Sixers, Suns Mavericks. Big time stuff coming up here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with you on Sports Grid. Let's get to these NBA playoffs here. Miami and Phoenix, both at home, both favored, and favored by a good margin considering the typical postseason numbers you would expect when we're in the second round of the playoffs here. We'll start in South Beach. The Heat are going to lay 8, the total 207.5. We'll talk side and total in a minute. I'm getting straight to the story. Harden. The expectations tonight for James Harden, well, we know that he has a lot of pressure on him, right? He right now feels like the story of the series, in my opinion. His points prop, 22.5. Rebounds, 7.5. Assists, 9.5. And his three-point prop is 2.5 at a minus 130. What are your expectations for James Harden?
I don't know. And it's quite frankly to say he should be able to go off. But from what I've seen here, when it's like, hey, James, take the basketball. This is your team. It doesn't feel like he has the need or the want to actually get to the rim, get to the free throw line, say, I'm just going to go 1-on-3 on this possession, get a foul or make a jump shot or a three-point shot here. It just feels like he's built into, okay, this is Joel Embiid's team. This is the way I've been playing for the past month and a half to 2 months. This is the way I'm going to stay. When the Sixers need you, the Sixers need James Harden to shoot 25-plus times in this game and live with it. And what I mean by that is get beat by 25 or win the game outright, right? If that happens, if James Harden goes out there and shoots 25 times and plays well and the Sixers lose, at least you got that fight out of James Harden. If James Harden comes into this game, shoots 25 times and doesn't perform well at all and the Sixers get blown away, at least you say to yourself, hey, James, you tried, because everybody else out there should be secondary to you on that Philadelphia 76ers offense. It's a tough market because I thought in the last game, give me the 3 points. Give me the shot attempts here. James Harden's going to control it. And I was shocked to see the Philadelphia 76ers up 51-50 at the break. And then James Harden disappeared for all intents and purposes in the second half. And I don't know what to get out of James Harden. He needs a big game, but I got to tell you, I'm not betting on James Harden tonight in any props markets here, Kevin.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's so reasonable for the answer to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the part of the thing that we thought why he wanted out of Brooklyn, I think in some way, right, was to go back to being Harden. He's been handed that opportunity on a silver platter and can't take advantage of it. But when you watch that game with a close eye, again, as we've spent all postseason hearing about Boston's defense, and yes, their defense has been great. They've been doing a great job on Giannis. I don't think we're talking enough about the Miami defense. You know what Harden looks? He looks similar to Trae Young, dejected. This is pointless. Why bother? Maybe I'll stand here in the corner. I'll pull P.J. Tucker away from the ball, and somebody else can do something. Because it's not, I don't have it. I don't have what it takes, right? I believe he only took, of his 13 field goals, one was uncontested. The separation isn't there. I just don't trust Harden in that way. That is what makes this so difficult here to watch. I am somebody that bet Harden over rebounds and assists and for a triple-double in game number one. And if he comes back and bounces back tonight in that way, good on him. But he did absolutely nothing to warrant me getting back to the window. Because here's the other reason. I was disappointed that game number one was a complete blowout and that he did not play in the final 4-plus minutes of the basketball game. I won't let myself fall to that same fate, because I will not be surprised if Miami blows them out here in this basketball game. They're laying 8. Usually we get to the postseason. 8's a lot. I'd rather keep 8. No, thank you. I'm good. And last time we said going into the game, man, if Philly scores 100, that's probably a job well done. They scored 92 and felt lucky to get there. 207.5 is the total. I still do not have what it takes to get over that number. What are your thoughts, side and total, tonight, game number two?
Yeah, last game also, we talked about the Sixers points prop as a team at a 100.5. And we're like, oh, that seems a little bit high. And if the Sixers get over 100, they probably have a legitimate chance to win. Same thought process today, but it's actually a little bit lower at a 99.5. And I got to tell you, that 100-point marker, I don't know if the Sixers can actually get there. I really don't. And I think the Miami Heat would be more than happy to go, hey, the Sixers' offensive prowess isn't here with Joel Embiid. Let's slow it down. Let's muck it up. Let's play good defense. Let's keep it physical and watch this game turn out to be 102-89 or 88, something like that, final. That's the way I see it going. So if I'm projecting that where I don't think the Sixers can get to 100, I'm going to probably lean on the under once again. Yeah. And also, the same way I felt in game one, without Joel Embiid, it's a Herculean task just for the Sixers to win, regardless against anybody they play in the NBA. But you're playing the number one overall seed on their home court. Quite frankly, I'm going to lean again towards the Miami Heat winning by margin, which means probably by 10 points tonight. I would be shocked. And again, I was shocked last game, Kevin, that the Sixers even had a 1-point lead. wasn't shocked at the final score where the Sixers just ran out of gas. Because sooner or later, you're looking for easy buckets, which Joel Embiid gives you, and they're not there. So you have to create your own shots, which James Harden seemingly doesn't want to do. Only shot 13 times from the field. He's got to shoot over 20 times for the Sixers to have a chance. He's got to knock down 4 or 5 3-point shots for the Sixers to have a chance. And I don't know if it's going to happen. Give me the under. Give me the Miami Heat. And I don't want anything to do with James Harden props, as I said here, Kevin.
Makes some sense. Two guys on Miami to take a look at. Jimmy Butler, his rebound prop, 6.5. It's minus 134. 10, 10, and then 9 in his last three games, been crashing the glass. I'd also wouldn't be surprised if he did bounce back tonight, scoring the basketball. He was 5 of 16 in the last game, still got to 15 points. This does feel like a Bam Adebayo series, though, at least until Embiid gets back. He's 24 points on 8 of 10 shooting, a perfect 8 of 8 from the line. Pair that with 12 rebounds there. Like, we talk player performance doubles. A Bam double-double and a Heat win is plus 116. It makes some sense. Bam Adebayo, points plus rebounds, if you want to just kind of fill it up that way, is 29.5. And again, he was into the mid, almost, he was almost at the 40 marker there in the last game. Makes some sense here in Heat Sixers. Suns Mavericks. Donnie, give you a lot of credit. You said that you thought over and you thought Phoenix would cover. Both came true in game number one. The line is now a steady 6.5. I have to admit I'm a little surprised that they've jumped this up now to that full point after the first game. I know Dallas won the fourth quarter by 10 to make it look more respectable than it was, but it feels, you know, this is, we talk about reading lines. This is a Phoenix line here, I think, in game two. What are your thoughts, Suns-Mavs?
More of the same with Phoenix. This is the team we expected here, Kevin, when we had maybe, I don't know, December or January, before any real injuries kicked in. And quite frankly, when Chris Paul went down, they still continued on their merry way. We got a little bit nervous at Devin Booker here coming into the playoffs and then getting banged up already in a series. But he played, Kevin, 38 minutes in the last game, coming off of his first game back, 32 minutes. He shot 20 times from the field, came up with, what, 8 assists and 9 rebounds, almost a triple-double, playing the de facto Chris Paul role. So if I'm looking at Phoenix saying every game Devin Booker is getting healthier and getting used to playing offense and defense again, that's the only way I'm going to look. And also, a little bit discouraging, you're right. You saw the final score. Hey, they kept it within 10 points here. That game really wasn't as close as that final score was. And Luka Doncic went absolutely ballistic in that game. So if we're looking here from my perspective, do I think the game can get over again? I do. Still looking towards the Suns here. If you're going to give me roughly a 6-point line at game time, I'll take the Phoenix Suns because I do think they win again. But also, when I take a look at the player prop markets here, Luka Doncic, 33.5 in a road playoff game against the Suns. So typically we'd say to yourself, I'm just going to fade it and take the under. Who in their right mind is going to bet a Luka Doncic under prop and watch this game for four quarters? That's one of those where you set it, bet it, and you forget it. Go take the dog for a walk, smoke a cigar, check in periodically to see it because he can fill it up quickly. If I ask you right now, Luka Doncic to get 34 plus points here on the road against Phoenix, what are you doing?
If you made me bet it, I'd bet under.
Made you take it.
Because yes. Luka was better at home this season. It is not a realistic expectation for a guy to go 34 a night. Because here's the other thing. I'm concerned about the total tonight, right? Total track meet in game number one. I don't know if we go Groundhog Day here. We saw that happen in the Grizzlies-Warriors game. Game number two came way back underneath the belt there. Remember that 223.5 became 227.5. Game lands 207. So I would be very cautious on the total. There's two props that have really jumped off of the page to me because there are two numbers that have been dropped because of the game one performances. Firstly, Jalen Brunson. It was 20.5. He had scored 20-plus in every single game in the Utah series, and that included the games where he was out there with Luka. Well, he goes for 13 in the first game on a horrendous 6 of 16 shooting night. They drop it to 18.5. I'll come right back to Jalen Brunson then. If I'm going to get 16 shots, I'm fine coming back to Jalen Brunson. Secondly, Chris Paul had 3 assists. This is only the second time in the postseason he has not had double-digit assists. I'm struggling to believe that the plan or the MO now is not to have Chris Paul be a double-digit assist man in the Phoenix locker room. 9.5 is his number. You're getting to 10. DRS. Those are the two props that really stick out to me. Brunson over 18.5 points. Chris Paul over 9.5 assists.
It makes some sense here because we're looking for Chris Paul to get back. I mean, 3 assists in the last game. Come on now. You're looking for a bounce back performance in that department. But if you're trying to find, and I know sometimes you just look at statistics and rightfully so, but sometimes you have to read some press clippings here. And the reason I bring this up, two things on Luka Doncic. Number one is points prop 33.5. Can he get there? Sure he can. I mean, the guy can go off for 40 points. You saw him go off in game one. But if you remember Jason Kidd at the post game press conference, what was he saying here? It wasn't like, hey, Luka's an unbelievable player. It was, hey, somebody else come join the party with Luka Doncic. So maybe he's beating that into the players. Somebody else has to step up. And the way I read that is Luka's going to get his, but maybe some of the other guys that need to be more aggressive taking shots away from Luka Doncic, which might not be a bad thing because if they can get going, leads to more wide open looks for Luka. But at the same time, he had 8 assists in the last game. And if I'm looking at Jason Kidd's comments and taking them for what it's worth, going, okay, somebody else step up, make more shots. I mean, Luka passing the basketball, other guys making more shots, that's more chances at assists. So got 8 in the last game. He's listed at 8.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 104. And if I'm looking just at Jason Kidd's comments, somebody else step up to the party, that means maybe a little bit less points for Luka, but more assists for Luka Doncic as well.
Yeah, 100%. Really, really can line up there. Let me ask you, Devin Booker, are you surprised? 26.5 for a points prop, I have to say I am. I knew he looked fine, but he only scored 23. He was on 7 of 20 shooting, played 38 minutes. It was a full workload for Devin Booker. I guess is it just maybe DRS that they're posting the regular numbers for Devin Booker now? No injury kind of designation when they're hanging his props?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, if Devin Booker's going to play close to 40 minutes in a game, Kevin, you got to go back to what he did in the regular season. So if we look at him and Chris Paul, Chris Paul is 17.5. I actually think Chris Paul gets to the 20-point marker. I'd rather take Chris Paul's points over than Devin Booker's in this game.
Okay, I think that can make some sense there. I think this is going to be a really, really fun game. I think what's interesting is you have a spot, though, yesterday, right? Who's the pressure on? Obvious. The home teams. They're down 2-0, and then they go to the road. You look at this spot here. I think Dallas has a lot of pressure to be down 2-0 to this Suns team is really tough. Obviously, you get home court. I think Miami, though, has to, and they're comfortable. But Miami needs this game so badly. You go 1-1 and then you welcome Embiid back into the series, that's a tough spot to be in. Super fun slate. Excited to watch this play out. Before you go anywhere, you make sure you listen up as DRS will close out here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Last segment of the day right here on a Wednesday for the early line right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh carrying you through over the previous 2 hours before we hand the baton off to Ben Stevens and the morning after. The NBA is on my mind, and rightfully so, after an unbelievable performance for Ja Morant. Now, granted, that's going to be a good series. We're taking a look at the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. Unbelievable stuff going on in the NBA in those two series. So you need to listen up. Be quiet. Bucks, Celtics, Warriors, Grizz. I love where these series are headed here. You also had two games, two teams fighting for their lives on their home court, being the Boston Celtics, who were embarrassed game one versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis went off. He had a triple-double. How do you counter that? How about your two young superstars step up with both being close to, if not scoring, 30 points in that game, hammering the Milwaukee Bucks before sending it back to Milwaukee? And then we take a look late night yesterday. Sensational stuff out of Ja Morant. Goes for 47 points. Are you kidding me? In a game that meant everything to the Memphis Grizzlies, where if they lost, there was no way they were probably even making it back to a game in Memphis being down 0-2. But in the biggest moments, we love superstars. We love them to shine. And if we're looking at both of these series, we're probably going at least six, if not seven games. And who doesn't want that? The Splash Brothers out there in San Francisco dominating. You got Draymond Green and all the hype in this year. You have Ja Morant single-handedly carrying an injured and maybe suspended Memphis Grizzlies team across the finish line. And also, let's not forget, those Milwaukee Bucks heading back to Milwaukee. Yes, last year they won the NBA championship, looking to go back-to-back on the shoulders of Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's great. It's the times we live for here in the playoffs to watch superstars shine. And in these two series, you're getting superstars, and they are shining. Wonderful stuff ahead here for the NBA and the playoffs. But you guys need to stick around. We are Sports Grid. We are sports. And coming up next, Ben Stevens and the Morning After, right here on SiriusXM Channel 159.